Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Everyone, welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland, where the off-season continues and now the hot stove really heating up in earnest in terms of acquisition talk for teams throughout baseball, whether it be signing of free agents or trades happening. And the winter meetings have not even begun yet. They will this week in San Diego, and we should see even more activity. And we're going to check in with Indians.com beat reporter for MLB.com, Jordan Bastian, about the winter meetings in San Diego. He'll be there and he'll give us a preview of what should be an exciting week to come. We will also bring you coverage of a new manager in baseball for the Tampa Bay Rays. It is Indians' former now bullpen coach, Kevin Cash. A surprise as now a manager for the Tampa Bay Rays. And we say surprise because of his youth. And he has not had experience as a manager at any level, but obviously has done great work for the Indians as their bullpen coach, and he has parlayed that into a major league managerial job, and we'll have coverage of that story as well. And we'll take a look at the renovation project here at Progressive Field. Check in with Jeff Weiland, who's the project manager, as he'll take us to the site and bring us up to date on how things are coming along as they prepare for major renovations to be completed in hopes by opening day 2015. So a lot to get to this week on Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us. We'll get rolling right after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Jim Rosenhaus back with you on Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us this week from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where there's always news going on, but the big news this week will be coming out of San Diego. The baseball winter meetings getting underway at the start of the week, and there should be a flurry of activity. There already has been for teams throughout baseball. The Indians seemingly on the fringes of joining that fray, as there are multiple reports saying that they had a deal or close to a deal with the Oakland Athletics for slugger Brandon Moss. But as of this taping and the first airing of the show here this weekend, nothing a done deal yet. But when we caught up with Jordan Bastian, who's the Indians beat reporter for MLB and Indians.com, we talked to him about the winter meetings, but first asked him about the hiring of Kevin Cash, Indians bullpen coach, as manager for the Tampa Bay Rays. And a lot of folks surprised by that, but Jordan says if you look deeper into it, you really shouldn't be.
You know, I think it's surprising in the sense that he is so inexperienced in terms of managerial experience. I mean, he's got a very short resume. You know, after his playing career in 2012, he was in the scouting department for the Toronto Blue Jays, and then he joined manager Terry Francona's coaching staff, and that's really it. So this is a guy that's not that far removed from playing, but I think from that side, it's maybe surprising. But when you talk to people within the game who know Kevin and know his reputation, you know, then all of a sudden, maybe it's not so surprising. This is a guy, I think I remember when the Indians hired him, you know, they said he's a rising star, and, you know, they felt that he was a manager in the making, and they said that when he had no coaching experience at all. So working with him for the last 2 years, as you can attest to, I mean, he's a really personable guy. You could see how he, you know, related to the players, to the media, to the coaching staff, the personnel. I mean, you're easy to get along with. I mean, as a reporter, I would try and find reasons to go interview him about players because he was so insightful and great to talk to. So I think it's a great hire for a forward-thinking organization like Tampa Bay. You know, they're very analytical, and, you know, they, as evidenced by Joe Maddon, who was kind of an unconventional type in the way he managed and the way he thought, I think maybe they're going to have similar type attributes in Kevin Cash.
In terms of replacements, any early thoughts on where that might come from, internal or external?
Well, I think right now what Chris Antonetti, the GM, told me was they have some internal candidates already. You know, they've been pretty prepared for this possibility, especially because Cash also interviewed for Texas and was pretty close to getting that job as well. So, you know, I don't know specifically who they're looking at right now, but just, you know, by process of, you know, looking at who's logical, internal candidates would include Jason Beret, Charlie Nagy. You know, you'd think Ruben Niebla, who was the pitching coach for a little bit, a couple of years ago. And also, you know, you've got a couple managers, AAA and AA, in Chris Tremme and Dave Wallace, who both have catching backgrounds. And obviously Kevin Cash is a former catcher as well. So that's something that might be important for that type of job. So I think right now those are five names that would be pretty logical to assume they'll get a look.
Switching gears to what's coming up, the winter meetings in San Diego and many seasons, it's a great ground for actual transactions, whether they be the monster free agent signings or a big trade. Indians heading in, kind of making some news as we record this. There has been multiple reports that a trade is imminent between the Tribe and the Oakland Athletics, Brandon Moss of Oakland being the big name involved. And as we record this right now, where do you see things standing, and what have some of the hang-ups been for a trade that was initially reported on much earlier this week?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely interest on the Indian side. It's a big left-handed power bat that you could put right in the heart of that lineup. A guy who played for Francona in Boston, you know, years ago, so there's some history there as well. Seems like there's always a Tito tie, you know, with some of these guys. But, you know, I think the hang-up is just maybe figuring out what the return is, you know, maybe determining the fact, you know, some of the financial aspects. He's arbitration eligible and due for a pay raise. You know, I'm sure they're sorting through some of the details. Oakland may have some other things in the works as well that they're trying to tidy up before they, you know, push everything through. So, you know, from what I've heard, the interest is there, obviously, on Cleveland's side, and Oakland has been listening and maybe going through a list of prospects that they might be interested in. But, you know, as far as a timetable, it's really unclear right now. It's so unclear that we're discussing it now, and maybe it gets done or doesn't get done by the time this airs. So it'll be interesting. But he's an interesting bat, brings a lot of power, one of the top power hitters in the game. Over the last three seasons, he ranks ninth in the majors in at-bats per home run. And also, you know, it's just a guy who, you know, he's coming off a little bit of a down second half last year, dealt with a hip injury that he had surgically repaired in October. So there's some comeback elements to it. But when he's healthy, the last 3 years he's shown, you know, he's one of the top sluggers in the game.
And no secret, certainly, that one of the areas the Indians would like to add is that lineup and see if they can't find that good proven run producer. But what are you hearing in terms of other areas? That I think at various points so far in the offseason, you've heard veteran starting pitcher, something to help defensively. You hearing anything concrete along those lines?
You know, concretely, no. It's been pretty quiet. This is the Brandon Moss stuff has been the loudest stuff for the Indians so far. It's going to be an interesting dilemma, or maybe not dilemma, but kind of the contractual predicament that the Indians are in here, because they have so many guys under contract at essentially every position. You know, they could start the season with a team right now with the roster that they have. I mean, they're pretty locked up in terms of spots and contracts. So what they have to do is explore the trade market. You know, that's why you do something like this with Moss makes sense. But in terms of other moves, you know, rotation depth is something they're looking at. You know, they have their starting five that they like, and they have McAllister and Tomlin providing a little bit of depth. But really, it's pretty thin when you're looking at the fact that teams usually need, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 starters throughout the course of the season. So I think they'd like to get somebody to put into the middle of that rotation. You know, maybe some of these bigger free agent pitching names need to fall off the board before the Indians really start getting involved with some of that second tier, third tier group, guys who are, you know, bounce back candidates, guys you take flyers on, things like that. But I think middle of the rotation, you know, impact bat, And then obviously every year you'll see those non-roster invitees brought in as depth, both for the AAA level and also just to compete for some of those, you know, last bullpen or bench spots.
Certainly one of the areas of concern a year ago, defense. The Indians struggled mightily in that area. Seems like that's not the easiest to try and fix, because you may have to give up some offense for a team that's looking for offense. You hearing anything along those lines of how some of the defensive woes could be remedied?
Well, I think one thing is that the Indians were really encouraged by the improvement in the second half. I mean, when we look at the 2014 season and you see, you know, the major league leading errors and some of the other defensive metrics, a lot of that is due to what went on in the first half. You know, when Carlos Santana was at third base, when Asdrubal Cabrera was at shortstop, you know, when Nick Swisher was dealing with knee issues while he struggled at first base, things like that. You know, so when we got towards the last 2 months of the year, you know, Jose Ramirez was put in at short and really upgraded that position. You know, Carlos Santana moved over to the first and was a pretty significant upgrade there as well. You know, Roberto Perez came in as a backup catcher and kind of really solidified the catching position combined with Yan Gomes, who had some uncharacteristic errors early. So, I mean, what I'm getting at is I think they found some solutions in the second half where maybe they don't need to necessarily target a defensive first player. And if they did, you know, I'm not sure whether you would try and find, you know, a player who could bring you the defense but also provide an offensive upgrade at a position, maybe right field, maybe third base, you know, because we know Chisenhall had some issues at third base as well. So that'll be an interesting dynamic to see how that goes. I think Yan Gomes really showed improvement in the second half. You know, I think putting Ramirez at short was big. And so I think they did make some moves already to kind of shore up what was a pretty messy situation over the first few months of the season.
Jordan Bashton joining us, Indians beat reporter for MLB.com. And Jordan, in closing, you're heading out to San Diego for these winter meetings, and some years there's just so much activity. Other years it's kind of quiet, and you hear a lot of the rhetoric about groundwork being laid for future deals. It seems like there's a lot going on this year, even before the meetings have begun. Sounds like the meetings could be just a free-for-all in terms of players changing teams and seeing a lot of activity.
I think so. I think this year things seem to be picking up the kind of pace where the winter meetings almost look like a finish line. You know, so I think it's going to be a pretty interesting week out in San Diego to try and chase down some of these rumors. And, you know, as far as the Indians are concerned, I think we're looking at a lot of trade talk and things like that, just because not necessarily that they don't have the financial room, but they just need to find the spots in terms of contracts and things like that. So it should be an interesting week.
That's Jordan Bashton, beat reporter for the Tribe for Indians at MLB.com. You stay with us. When we come back, we'll have more on Kevin Cash moving to Tampa Bay and leaving a void in the Indians coaching staff. And we'll have much more as well. Coming up as Tribe Talk rolls on from Progressive Field after this timeout on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland, where the offseason continues and the big news will be coming from San Diego at the start of next week. That's where the baseball winter meetings are, and we'll bring you up to date on everything that happened at the winter meetings on our next show next weekend. There have been some transactions, though, most notably the Tampa Bay Rays making a managerial hire, choosing Indians bullpen coach Kevin Cash with just 2 years of major league coaching experience, but great work done in the Indians bullpen and preparing scouting reports, helping both pitchers and catchers on the Indians ball club be at their best and really made an impact in a position that you don't hear much about. And I think that's where the surprise comes in for Cash being a major contender and ultimately winning the job as manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. He was introduced to the Tampa media yesterday, and he said that his reaction was what you'd expect for what will be now the youngest manager in Major League Baseball.
It's tough to describe. I kind of jokingly tell everybody we went through the process. We talked for close to 12 hours the other day in the second interview, face-to-face interview. And then when Matt and Eric and Haim called, I was pretty much speechless. It's just, wow, there's been a lot of tears from my family, my mom, my dad, my wife. It's just a surreal moment, but extremely excited.
When did you kind of first know that you wanted to be a manager? And then when did you kind of think that it might be within your reach after the game, based on some of your experience?
You know what? I don't know if there was ever a given point when I knew. When the Texas opportunity presented itself late in the year and the front office contacted my former front office in Cleveland, it was a shock, and it wasn't something that I was anticipating at this stage. But then as I started preparing for the Texas opportunity, and I almost kind of gained some momentum, gained some confidence, and talking and being able to kind of really process some thoughts moving forward and having the benefit of being around the incredible people that I've been around throughout my career, namely the Indians and Terry Francona. I guess that's where it started really progressing in my mind.
Obviously, there's a trend in the last couple of years in Major League Baseball to go with the younger players who had just maybe retired. Why do you think that is? And can you talk about maybe your philosophy and your approach that you will take?
I can't really specifically answer that question about the younger managers in that regard. That would probably be better suited for Matt and the people that are doing the hiring. But I think, you know, the approach is you build relationships. Everything is about the people you get to work with, those relationships from the players, the personnel, the front office group, top to bottom, everywhere throughout the organization. And I don't know if age really matters in how you build relationships and communicate with people. So I try to factor that in and realize that is very important on the list, to reach out to everybody involved here and try to make impactful relationships and get them started.
And do you remember your first at bat as a Devil Ray?
Yes, I do.
And what happened? I got to take it through that.
Yeah, I closed my eyes and swung and happened to run into a ball and it went out of the park. But the problem is I remember the next 30 also.
Can you talk about how your coaching philosophy has been shaped by Terry Francona in your 2 years in Cleveland and how you see it melding in here in Tampa Bay?
I could talk all day about Tito and his philosophy and what I'm going to pull from him and stuff like that. The biggest thing that I watch is the way he communicates with players, and it can be your three-hole hitter or your backup catcher that I got to be in that role playing for him. So I see how he treats people. I see how he treats his coaching staff, the personnel that's in and out on a daily basis, and the quality relationships that he has formed with the Red Sox and with his current team, the Indians. And that's something that I paid attention to on a daily basis.
What's your plans with your staff?
You know what? I'm extremely fortunate that the staff that is intact, that I get to come into that. I mean, I'm going to use their leadership and their opinions and stuff on the players to have that, to be able to lean on is incredibly fortunate to have. As far as a bench coach, we have we've kind of spoke a lot about the qualities Matt and Eric and Haim and I that we're looking for, and it's still an ongoing process.
Obviously, a lot of questions will be asked about not having managed people, you know, say it's the game's quicker, you know, than you think it is until you're the guy making the decisions, things like that. What do you see as the biggest challenges? And actually, have you ever managed a game? Did you manage a spring training game or split squad game, anything like that?
No, I have not managed a spring training game or a split squad game. I will say the experience of the bullpen coach, you're managing people down there for 3 hours. You're kind of by yourself with that group of seven or eight pitchers. So I looked at that as, you know, managing those group of guys, and I was incredibly fortunate with the people that I had down there the last 2 years. And then also you're a distance, you're out of the dugout, but you kind of play manager in your head, and you try to get a sense of what managers throughout the game are doing in different situations. So I think as long as you're constantly paying attention and trying to learn from different things that happen throughout the course and different decisions that are made, you know, it's as close to managing a game as I've gotten to. And then the constant communication before and after the game with the coaching staff and explaining thoughts and decisions and trying to anticipate. So a lot of that takes place, and I look forward to a lot more of that taking place with the coaching staff that's intact here.
I'm wondering, you mentioned surreal and tears all around. I'm sure that would be the case no matter where you were managing. But how much does it mean to have a homecoming, too?
That's I don't know if you can put words on that. We left, we kind of uprooted my family, when I got this job in Cleveland, and it was tough. There was a lot of excitement, but to know that we get to be coming back home to my family there, my mom, my brother, grandfather, just nieces, nephews, it's just incredible. And then to be able to reconnect with some friendships and then develop the new relationships, I'm really looking forward to it, my family and I.
Oh, we hope you can stay with us. We'll have more to come as we continue with Tribe Talk. We'll give you a behind-the-scenes tour of the renovation project and an update on progress when we come back after this timeout on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you at Progressive Field, where the renovation project continues out in right field. Major changes to that area of the ballpark, and a lot of those changes starting to take shape somewhat in a project that began the day after the regular season ended, and the hopes are that all these major changes and renovations will be complete by opening day 2015. That's April the 10th when the Indians will open their home schedule against the Tigers. And if you're on hand that day, you will notice marked differences to the ballpark in right field. And Jeff Weiland took us out to the site earlier this week. And we had our hard hats on, the safety goggles and the like, and took a look at what's going on, specifically starting with the bullpen areas, which will be undergoing major changes and really change the look and feel of that right field area.
Yeah, absolutely. We're virtually complete with all the demo and have excavated what was the seating area in center field and are now starting to put the concrete in for the walls and the slab that will form the new bullpen. We're probably about two-thirds of the way through that. And as you can see, it's a dramatic change. I think when the fans come here, the big difference they're really going to see is just how close they are now to the players, to both pitching staffs in the bullpens. We're rotating the bullpens 90 degrees, embedding them into the stands. This will be the only ballpark in the country that has seats in front of the bullpens. Actually, the fans will be able to get on all four sides.
And we were talking earlier, you've taken away the possibility of a replay of the famous David Murphy play where a ball got loose in the visiting bullpen last year and he got hung up around third base, right?
We have taken away that possibility. So we've rotated the bullpens 90 degrees. So they're now effectively throwing from the right field corner towards Heritage Park and center field.
Any decision yet on whether the Indians are the top or the bottom pen?
Yeah, so the Indians will be, the home bullpen will be the first one. We'll be in front, closer to the field. In the Indians, pitchers, when they're not in the bullpen, will be sitting right at field level in center field. The visiting players will actually be behind both bullpens, so they'll be underneath what is the new center field plaza in the area where fans enter.
And who helped you out with that call?
That was a collective effort, but ultimately I think it was a pretty easy call for us to put the Indians a little bit closer to the field.
Now, I know, obviously, this type of project at this time of year, weather's a huge factor, and there's some concrete down there and, mm-hmm. and things like that. What are the keys now the next couple of weeks? How warm does it have to stay to make sure you get that done when you need to?
Yeah, so the concrete, we're pretty good. You know, if you go back to chemistry class, the reaction that actually makes the concrete is catalytic and heats up. So even if it's slightly below freezing, we're still okay putting the concrete in. The next big step after that is steel is starting to arrive, and we're building the frame, steel frame for the bar. So you'll see that start to come to life over the next month or so here.
Jeff Weiland joining us, project manager for these major renovations out here in the right field area of Progressive Field. We've been talking bullpen. You may be able to hear in the background some work going on. We are standing in what will be a new part of the kid zone, a two-tiered kid zone, and the part we're standing in here, what's going to be happening in here?
Yeah, so we've doubled the square footage of the kid zone, both the interior element and exterior. So we've taken what were 14 regular suites and two party suites and turned them into about 5,000 square feet of kids' activity. So this interior space where we're standing is going to be largely for younger kids, probably 4 to 8 years old. We'll have a collection of play activities, a few photo ops with some player cutouts. We'll have a number of interactive games, a broadcast booth. We'll have a virtual locker element so the kids can see what it's like in the locker room with the big leaguers.
Now, what about the parents who bring their kids up but still want to keep tabs on the game? How good a view will they have of the game, and is that still something that's readily available?
It is. So the kids' areas, the kids' clubhouse, is open to all fans. Anyone that buys a ticket can enter the kids' area for free. And it is where we had suites previously. So the fans can go out onto the balcony. They have the glass line that we're standing behind now. And it's a great view of the field.
That's Jeff Weiland, the project manager for the renovation project in right field at Progressive Field. And we thank him for taking us deep into the project earlier this week. It was fun being out there with the heavy construction crews as they continue to do their work while the weather is somewhat decent here for early December in Northeast Ohio. Stay with us. We'll have warmer thoughts as we conclude Tribe Talk after this time out on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in cold, rainy Cleveland. And we are joined now by Ryan Lance, the manager of spring training operations out in Goodyear, Arizona. In sunny Goodyear, Ryan?
Today it's a little overcast. It's partly cloudy. We had got some rain over the last few days. Actually, it was pretty steady rain yesterday, but it's a chilly 72 today, I think. So.
Wow.
We all have our parkas on and long johns.
Yeah. Well, I know it won't be that way when the Cactus League season begins in early March. And on Saturday, tickets will be available. Single game tickets going on sale to the public this weekend. So some great things. And we wanted to have you on to talk about the schedule. First off, a little bit later start time this year for the schedule, I know, and some great bonus nights as you look at the schedule and some attractive dates to keep an eye on.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. We've got it's a later schedule for sure. 16 games, so we've got an additional game from last year. Actually, we had the same amount of games last year, but 16 games and some great weekend matchups and great promotional nights. So right out of the gate, we've got a Michael Brantley bobblehead giveaway that's scheduled for the Saturday, March 7th game against the Dodgers. So that's a limited edition giveaway that we're doing this year. First time we've actually featured a bobblehead player out here in Goodyear. And then a few days after that, we've got fireworks nights are back. We've got, actually, with Easter being so early this year, we're also doing an Easter egg hunt on the field that Friday, that last game of the season against Milwaukee, Good Friday. We've got a lot of other, really neat promotions, some solid promotions scheduled in throughout the rest of the schedule too.
A lot of different ways for people to take in spring training, but I know in years past you'd have had travel packages that include more than just the games. Are those available once again?
Yeah, those are really popular for fans back in Cleveland. We started promoting those back in September towards the end of the season, and we have 4, 5, and 6 night packages. We're partnering again with Professional Travel, and they've done a great job the last few years. Great thing about these packages, it gets you the VIP seating that everybody likes. Kind of all inclusive. You don't have to do a thing. They handle everything. We have multiple meet and greets with the players, coaches, and then of course one of the biggest things that people really enjoy about those are we have post game workouts at our player facility here with some of our coaching staff, and so we got a little bit of everything for everyone. So it's been really popular, and we'll continue those again this year.
And a fan fest once again about midway through.
Yeah, Fan Fest is coming back again. That's actually going to have a little St. Paddy's Day spin on it, because that's going to be on March 17th. That's a Tuesday after our game against the Reds. And so again, we started that last year, and we'll partner with the Reds. So big autograph sessions lined up, on-field activities for all age groups. Kids run the bases, play catch in the outfield, take batting practice in our cages up at the ballpark. On-field photos and plenty of giveaways and contests for everyone. So that'll be post-game on March 17th following our matchup with the Reds. So really excited to bring that back too.
And if someone wants to get their tickets in advance, what's the best way to do that?
For just spring training tickets in general, you can go online to Indians.com/spring, and there'll be a URL right there directing people where to purchase tickets. You can also by phone at area code, it's 1-800-745-3000, and then of course you can also, there's some select Ticketmaster outlets in around Cleveland. If you go to our website indians.com/spring, that'll direct you to the Ticketmaster outlets where they sell them in Northeast Ohio. So.
And, of course, they can just call you if they want to try and get in for free, and you'll hook them up.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what we're all about here. I mean, we usually do that just for the Rosenhaus friends and family. But that list is pretty extensive, but why not? Let's open it up to the rest of the crew, too.
Hey, before we let you go, I know we always talk about some of the improvements that have been made from year to year, not at the game site, the ballpark, but over at the Indians Complex. Any changes this year? Because I know you've been adding more and more accessibility areas for fans to see the players work out in the mornings.
Yeah, no, those areas will be back. We've expanded that the last few years, and then we added a new fan access area last year, which was very popular. So we expanded that down to our lower fields and down to our in between fields 1 and 2. So fans can get closer to the players, better autograph opportunities and photo opportunities with the players too. So those will continue to be the norm, and those are all in place for this year. So that's a great thing about spring training. I mean, you can get so much closer to these guys than what you can at some point during the regular season. So that's kind of a bonus for people who are able to make the trip out and enjoy the sunshine too.
Well, I know a long winter ahead for folks back here, but at least some warm thoughts to think about with spring training tickets going on sale this weekend. Ryan Lance, always great to have you on. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Rosie. We'll see you in a few months.
That's Ryan Lance, the Indians manager of Arizona Operations, the Goodyear Complex, and spring training, joining us for our final segment of Tribe Talk. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. We hope you can join us next week when we'll be right here with a recap of the baseball winter meetings. There could be significant news in terms of changing of the Indians roster. We'll see as Chris Antonetti and his crew trying to get as much done as they can in a short period of time. They laid a lot of the groundwork and now trying to complete some deals, and we'll see if they're able to do that during that winter meetings time in San Diego. So until next week, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer.
With the Cleveland Indians. We'll be right back.
with everyone. Indian Fever. You can be part of the fun. You're the winner at every game. That's where the excitement begins. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer
with the Cleveland Indians. Indian Fever. It starts from the very first inning.
That ball hit hard, stay in the air. He looks up, you can put it on the board. Yes!
How about that? Unbelievable!
A swing and a long drive! Deep right, away back, gone!
Wave it, bye-bye!
Goodbye!
See ya!
This ball is way back there, way back there, way back, baby, bye-bye!
Swing and a long drive, deep right field!
A swing and a miss! Ball game!
Been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.